Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number
144, player.
You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com.
Today is September 2nd, 2015. That is the year. I am your host, Rob Small. This is the Thank You Rob podcast. Did you hear that? What does that mean? I don't know. Jurassic Park shit?
Am I supposed to talk? You told me not
don't,
to
don't
talk
yet.
Unless I was gonna
don't laugh. Say anything.
Got it.
Even when I ask you a question.
Understood.
Did you hear that? What did I say? It said don't say anything.
That was more of a clearing of
Johnny Question Mark is not here today. He's having
Question Mark.
Question Mark. He's having a reverse circumcision. Wow. And Joe Grizzly was going to sit in for him, but Joe Grizzly is...
he's in line.
We're going to talk about this today, but he's already waiting in line for Star Wars merchandise that's comes out.
Well, if you want, truth be told, he's waiting at the dollar store for the dollar store versions of the Star Wars toys.
Joe wouldn't do that.
No,
he wants the real deal.
Well, somebody's got to.
Yeah. That's true. Well, the other guy's voice that you hear right now, it might sound a little different. It might sound familiar, but it might sound a little different because he has no tonsils. He has no uvula. Is that the word?
Uvula.
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 He also had a deviated septum.
Correct.
But now you have no septum.
I might have been fibbing on that a little bit. Okay. I mean, I think there's a septum. I think there has to be a
there
septum
has to
there.
Be a septum.
But it's minimal. It's been minimized.
It's like a mini septum.
Mini septum. It's like not worthy of other septums.
Mini septum.
Yeah. Also where I'm from, oddly.
Mini septum.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the last time that the listeners may have heard you is episode number 51. This is episode number 144.
Wow. Skipped a few on that one. Where have you been, Mr. Chase? Wow.
Chuck Chase.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Clap, clap. Yeah. Clap for myself.
Do you remember episode 51?
I remember. Yeah. Quite vividly, actually. It was a great episode. We recorded that on our way to a sneak preview or a press screening for Anchorman
2.
Anchorman 2. Yeah. And you were more impressed than I was at that film. I remember that.
Not by much.
But not though. By much.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, and now it's grown on me. Not quite as much as the original Anchorman, but Anchorman 2 has come around. It's one of those, you got to sit down with it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk to it a little bit and see if you like him. If you like that kind of guy hanging around. And I do. So Anchorman.
What was the shark's name? I just remember the kid. Will Ferrell's or Ron
Damn
Burgundy's
it, I
kid.
I don't know, but it was something funny. The shark
it
name
was
fucking funny.
Bodie? Was it Bodie?
It was maybe.
Okay.
I tell you though, now bringing that up though, probably one of the funniest things I've seen in cinema.
Yeah,
now looking back,
that's funny.
Was just knowing Will Ferrell the way I do, not personally, but just through his work, was when he tried to kill himself. And the guy, he's like, "I'm trying to kill myself."
Yeah, that's right.
He's like,
tried to hang himself.
Why are you doing that? Because my life is miserable and I hate everyone and nobody likes me. He's like, "Why do you keep putting a question mark at the end of all those?" I don't know. I'm an idiot.
The movie has some good parts. It really does. Gems in there. They're hidden.
It really does.
I don't think I've seen this in its entirety since we saw it in the theater that day.
No, but you know what? I bought the Blu-ray, and they have like a director's cut to where it has... don't quote me on this for you big fucking Anchorman weirdos, but it's like 797 new jokes. They counted fucking 797 new jokes.
Wow.
But maybe it's like 190. I don't remember the exact number, but it's on there. But I haven't watched that yet either, and
okay.
I bought that Blu-ray quite some time
ago. But you have it. You own it.
You
spent the money.
I spent the money.
You went to work.
Pre-ordered
you
that.
You earned that paycheck.
On Amazon.
You drove
not
your car.
Via Thank You Rob Associates, though, which sadly...
Ooh, good segue,
yeah,
though.
I know. I tried.
That's a good way to segue into like how can people support this podcast?
Well, Rob, don't treat me like a fucking rookie. You know I'm a pro. Okay, so let's not act like this is my first road. I was on episode 51.
That's right. You know, okay. You were.
I'm not a rookie.
You were actually on a few before that as well.
When we'll get to that as all, you know, also.
Yeah.
But if you want to introduce some associates.
I will, yeah. So let's say you want to buy the Anchorman 2 Blu-ray with 767 new jokes. Oh, what are you cracking open there?
We are not endorsing this beverage, and we do not get funding from the endorsement of this beverage. So let's just say it's a brown cola in a blue can.
With a red and blue logo? Red, white, and blue
like
logo?
A smiley face or a Pokemon.
What the hell is that?
It's a Pokemon.
It's a Pokemon. Pokemon cola.
And back to you, Rob, for Amazon Associates.
So yeah, let's say you want to buy the Anchorman 2 Blu-ray, and you want those new jokes. You can't wait to hear them and see them. And laugh at them.
Right.
I'd say a quarter of them. Let's say a quarter. Yes. What you want to do is you want to go to thankyourob.com/Amazon. It's going to take you to Amazon.
Boom.
The same Amazon you know and love.
Boom.
Everybody loves them. Yeah. And you make your purchase there. I think it's like 4% of the advertising fee or advertisement funding that they make off the website comes back to us.
Man, 4%.
Yeah. The last time I checked, the people are using it. So
really?
I think after like 7 more people actually buying something through the link, we get bumped up to 6%.
So you've actually made about 4% of a dollar.
Yeah.
Which is something.
It is something. It is something. That's how we bought this other mic stand that you see that you're not using.
Right.
That John would be using if he wasn't having his circumcision reversed.
Reversed.
Right.
He's a brave man.
So that's a good way to support the podcast monetarily. Let's say you don't want to support us in that way.
Right.
But you don't want to spend the money. But you listen to the show on Stitcher Radio, or you listen to the show on iTunes. Another good way is to just subscribe to the show or review the podcast.
Right. And reviewing the podcast does what for you guys exactly?
It just lets people know that they're listening. And you can leave, like, don't have Chuck Chase back on the show. Right. Because
yeah. If you say that, I'll fucking find you, you fuckers.
It's
going to
be some Jay and Silent Bob
eat that
type
shit
stuff.
That you shat and all that, whatever.
Are you Pokemon fan 321?
Are you Pokemon 321?
Well, let's talk about, you know, this week.
Yeah.
Some big news kind of came around about, you've heard of the band Guns N' Roses.
I have heard of Guns N' Roses. I'm an 80s baby, so I mean, that's commonplace to me. So I'm all too familiar with the with Axl and the Slash and the weight that Axl has put on, which is unfortunate.
Duff McKagan.
Yep.
He's another guy in the band.
Nobody cares
Izzy
about him, Rob.
Stradlin.
Nobody cares about him either, Rob.
Well, as you are familiar, 2006, I believe, was the year that Slash left the band.
And he started up Velvet Revolver?
He was a part of that.
Right. Do you know Slash is actually half black?
I did know that.
Did you?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. And this is a true fucking fact. I'm dead serious, but a lot of people don't know that. So when they're like, Slash is black, but how? And I'm like,
and then Chuck's like, I don't like him anymore.
Is not true.
All right. I know it's not true.
Back to the news.
Back to the news. But yeah, and then so 2006, Slash left Guns N' Roses, and let's be honest, you know, he left the band. Do you think it changed much?
Do you mean have I listened to Guns N' Roses since the 80s?
Which basically means, okay, what's funny about this is it's 2015.
Right.
The year is 2006.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that's come out since then is
Chinese democracy, which in itself took, what, between 10 to 15 years to get that out of the actual studio, onto wax, and out to the people. And when it dropped, they attempted to make it into this huge release. They attempted, like, finally, Chinese democracy is coming out.
Yeah.
And it just dropped and went wood. Nobody cared. They took way too long. There was no hype available for it. You got to think, an entire generation has lived and pretty much progressed on past what Guns N' Roses could have done.
Yeah.
And that's just, that was a missed opportunity. And Axl, he's still... He spent so much money on the production of that, dude. I mean, I don't know if he ever will be out of debt through his record label or how that worked out. But they, I mean, it's infamous how much money he spent on that album.
Okay, so you haven't even heard the album?
I've never heard one track off of Chinese.
I own the album.
You're shitting me.
I own it. I don't think it's that bad. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's just not it's not what you want it to be. The anticipation doesn't live up to what it actually is.
Are there ballads reminiscent of Sweet Child of Mine, November Rain?
No, there's not. Okay. There's not. Right. I mean, it's good music. It's just not what you wanted it to be.
Right.
That's just the thing. That's just it.
Is Axel like... Axel, 80s Axel on there? Is it very, has he grown as an artist, or is he pretty
I should
much...
have listened to it again before
fucking
I got into this
Rob,
conversation.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's like if Dre were to release Detox,
right,
would it live up to its hype?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. But, okay, so Slash was recently kind of hinting at, like, there could be, because people continuously ask him,
right,
you know, is there going to be a Guns N' Roses reunion? They were just inducted into the Hall of Fame. Axel didn't show up.
What a prick, man.
Yeah.
Something like that, dude. I mean, you don't have much else to look forward to.
It's the band that he started.
Yeah.
He started. Say his name's in the band.
He was trying to make a point of that. And look what he did. All you did is become a bigger asshole because of that. Seriously, when somebody inducts you into the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you fucking go. You put your differences aside and you go do that because that is a huge, huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what a dickhead to do that to Slash and the rest of the guys. I wish I knew their names. But it's still a
Slash and the Gang.
Which should have been his band name.
Okay, so on May 7th, Slash was interviewed, and he says, this quote, "If everybody wanted to do it and do it for the right reasons, I think the fans would love it. Obviously, they would. I think it might be fun at some point to try and do that."
Did he specify to him what are the right reasons? Obviously, he's not worried about financial gain, so what are the right reasons?
Just
to reinvigorate,
for the hell of it.
To do it for the love, man.
Yeah, for the love. For the love of the music.
Right.
And then another quote. If we haven't really... Okay, not if. If I can quote someone correctly, I'm going to read it correctly.
Do it the
right way. "We haven't really talked in a long time, but a lot of the tension that you were talking about has dissipated. We don't have all those issues anymore. It's not a lot of controversy. It's something that is more perpetuated by the media, more than anything." I bet that's how he talked.
Translates to a lot of us are fat and broke, and I think there's a lot of heroin going through some of these guys' veins, and we need our next fix.
Mm-hmm.
And by fix, I mean hit. And by hit, I mean another fix.
Well, Velvet Underground was really popular.
Oh, yeah? Name a song.
What, the one song.
Name a
that
song.
That song, the song.
Nope. Name the song, the title.
The song that Scott Weiland sang.
I'm asking you.
With them.
Name the song.
I can't name it.
Okay, name another one.
I can't name
any. Exactly. Name the album.
Self-titled.
You better hope, because I'm checking that shit when I leave here. Exactly.
Well, but they had good success.
Okay.
You can't deny that.
All right.
How can you not?
Mm-hmm.
Scott Weiland is like a big name. He's a name that people follow.
Okay. What's his birth date?
Do you know, what, did,
I don't
even
know.
The
I was trying to throw you off.
Yeah, well, you did.
All right.
You did throw me off. So apparently, Axel and Slash got together and kind of squashed the beef.
Really?
Where's the beef? I don't know. It's squashed.
It's on Willis's t-shirt. Different strokes.
So here's the interesting part. Fred Durst comes into the picture here.
All right. I'm dropping the mic. You brought that guy into this?
Limp Bizkit played this show in Reading. It's called the Reading Festival in the UK recently, just last month, and told NME magazine, how do you think Fred Durst talks? What's his voice like?
I'd like you to know that we're responsible for having Slash being back together. We had
that
a meeting and went really well.
It sounds like Bobcat Goldthwait. That's not right.
No. I still think that's how he sounds a little bit.
You were all over the place with that microphone right there.
Was I?
Yeah, basically, so Fred Durst comes out and says that he basically oversaw them getting back together. Why is that even a thing? Why would you tell somebody that?
Wow.
He's just looking for
attention. But that's always been Fred Durst.
Yeah.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah.
You know, there was, and this is kind of a segue into something else I'm going to cross right back, but there was, I believe, two films that Fred Durst was involved in directing.
Whoa.
And that actually sounds better now.
Yeah.
Two films that Fred Durst was directing in, and neither one of the movie studios wanted his name mentioned at all. You know, they're like, you know, just put him in the credits real small at the bottom of the poster like everybody else, and we're not going to say, you know, directed by Fred Durst, because they just knew that was not going to help ticket sales at all. And again, you know what, to be honest, he's not a good director. He's not a bad director. He's kind of the guy that's like, hey, Chuck, we got a podcast and two of our people are gone. Can you sit in? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm
Fred,
good enough.
Fred Durst.
Yeah.
What has he done?
He directed an Ice Cube film, actually, called The Long Shots, I believe. Or, hey, don't quote me on that. You guys can look it up, where Ice Cube's daughter plays football. And she's,
what?
Yeah, quarterback, and she plays
on the first. I don't remember that movie.
Yeah, she does. And then there was another film called, I believe it was called something, Meeting Charlie Bartlett, and it starred the new Lex Luthor.
Jesse
Eisenberg.
Okay.
And that one actually got quite a bit of attention for just being kind of a cool little indie flick. But the Long Shots, yeah, they wanted no one to know that Fred Durst directed that.
But Ice Cube did
Ice
the movie.
Cube, yeah. Which, and he probably was like, hey, Fred Durst is like, you know, Ice Cube, you want to be in a movie? Like, yeah, I'll be in a movie. I'll pay for that shit too.
He was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, this fucking genius he is.
Yeah.
That's interesting. One more of those?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why not? Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, what else do we got, Ice Cube? There you go. I don't know if that's Dub C or Ice Cube.
I don't know, but I now that I know we can utilize something like that, I'm going to give so many ideas and suggestions.
So Fred Durst also had something to do with the Fast and the Furious. Was he in it?
Which one? They're like all named
2001, the first one.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure what he did. It could just be soundtrack, yeah.
They were pretty popular at that point in time.
Right, they were. They were. 2001 was their year.
Right.
The year of the backwards red hat.
Oh, man, I'm glad I never bought into that.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to, but I just could never buy one because I couldn't afford one. I was kind of a poor kid at that point.
Oh, man, we should talk about, so Joe Grizzly.
Yeah.
Before we move on there.
Okay, before.
So let's say Slash and the band gets back together. And the gang gets back together with Akmel. With Akmel. And they do some new GNFNR.
Right.
Is that going to make any difference? Are you going to buy an album? Or even a song?
Me personally?
Yeah.
No.
Do you have any ambition to hear it?
I think in a perfect world for me, if they wanted to get any money out of me, what they would do is go on tour with another popular band. As of right now, and just play the hits. Play the hits, man.
Nothing but the hits.
Nothing but, you know, maybe even get some other artists to jump in on there with Axel, and, you know, do a couple duets or something like that and remix them a little bit, man. But I think they're definitely open for interpretation of other people's, like, you know, creative artistry. And I think that's something they should be. New music from Guns N' Roses, just the hardcore fans are going to jump on that way.
Right.
Just the hardcore.
I think they should give it a shot, though. Just try. You know what? Get back in the studio. See what happens.
You're always that guy. I like it. Go ahead and try it. Be positive.
Well, how are you going to know if you don't try?
Some things are better left unknown.
That's the thing. They don't have to let anybody know that they tried.
Right. Well, I think they did that with Chinese democracy.
Here's what they should do.
Uh-huh.
They should get in the studio, cut a few tracks, see what happens.
Right.
Don't mention anything. Fred Durst is going to come out of nowhere and say, yeah, they're in the studio. They told me, and they told me not to tell anyone, but I'm an attention whore, and I just want you to know that I heard the stuff. It's amazing, but don't tell anybody.
Right, and I'm telling you because it's my way or the highway.
Can you feel it?
Yeah, red light, green light.
Red light, green light. Was that one of their things?
Yeah, that was a track with Snoop Dogg.
Ready to go. What album was that on?
I have no idea. I just know it's probably the only Limp Bizkit song I have on my iPhone.
So you do have it on your
Red light, green light, red light, green light, ready to go.
Let's move on. So right. Joe Grizzly is in line. I'm gonna do this here. Maybe give him one of these. Right now, Joe Grizzly is in line.
Right.
He is waiting for the new line of Star Wars, The Force Awakens merch.
Oh, man.
That's coming out at 12:01 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Friday morning. Oh. Thursday night, Friday morning. Your local Toys R Us, Target, Kmart.
Uh-huh. Children's Palace.
Children's Palace, That's
KB
awesome.
Toys.
KB Toys, yeah. Go inside your local mall, wait in line.
And just ask for that shit and see who has an answer for you.
Now, KB Toy Store, those are they're no more, right?
They are no more, which is sad because for those of you that don't know me, hopefully we can get into this on a, on another podcast, which we'll speak about that later. I basically have a an action figure collection, just a fucking geeky, fantastic
one. So does
one.
Joe Grizzly, right? That's the thing.
And a lot of it was started courtesy of KB Toys with their... three for $10 action figures. Which so you get three fucking action figures for $10 and you couldn't lose, dude. And they had hard to find shit because essentially they were just in this big steel box and from top to bottom with shit that you never knew if you were going to find or see again. And you bought it. And that was fucking awesome.
So what kind of action figures did you get?
Oh, well, dude, I was big on the X-Men. I was big on the Spider-Man. Iron Man actually had a pretty cool line. Silver Surfer. Fantastic Four had a cool line back then. Sadly, ones that I didn't buy that I wish I would have not were kind of those like novelty out of pocket action figures were like for movies like Independence Day, Alien films, Men in Black, that type of shit. That you would think like these are fucking toys.
How yeah.
Now some of them are worth a pretty penny and just kind of cool to have. Right. Toxic Crusaders. I wish I'd fucking held on to those. I didn't. But yeah, so KB Toys, man. And Children's Palace, I remember when I was just a young, young dude, and that was just the place to be.
So the question is, are you familiar with any of the characters coming up besides the ones coming back from the old Star Wars movies?
A new character? Honestly, the only one that I'm pretty interested in now and familiar with is BB-8, and I just think that's the fucking coolest thing.
Yeah.
Because when I seen that, I was like physically like, oh, fucking awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, but what kind of hit me is I was thinking, I was like, why didn't they fucking think of that before?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I like it. Leave it to J.J. Abrams.
Right.
But, man, I'm thinking, man, that is the coolest fucking thing. And not only just because it's a cool new droid, but just think of the toys, which obviously they have.
Yeah.
But that's just a cool-looking droid, man.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. But other than that, besides the returning characters, I'm not too familiar, and I'm purposely staying away from a lot of the hype and a lot of the information that you can like just
because you want it
get.
To be new.
I really do. I really do want to go in there and know nothing. I want to. And I'm normally a big movie buff, big movie guy, but right here I'm trying to stay away on purpose. And you know, another part of the story is I was a very, very late to the party, the Star Wars party. Okay, I didn't see any Star Wars films until they were re-released in what was it like 99 or 2000. The re-releases when they remastered them. And when I had seen the first Star Wars, A New Hope, I remember going to theater like, why the fuck am I here? What's the big fucking deal?
Mm-hmm.
This is stupid. I hate Star Trek. And I said, I hate Star Trek. And that wasn't, I didn't misspeak there. But so I'm watching this and all of a sudden, man, you know, the fucking, the yellow credits roll and then, you know, the black and white credits roll at the end. I'm thinking, why did I wait this long?
Right.
Where has this been my whole life?
But it was that was great marketing by George Lucas to re-release those.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was pure genius.
Because it did. It rekindled a love for everybody. Yeah, me too.
Adults, you know, hey, I want to bring you. I waited in line for this when I was a kid. Now I'm bringing you. And like the kids got to see it. And look what he did now. Kids, you know, 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago are now buying all that stuff again.
Right.
Re-releases and buying all this shit. So they reintroduced it to a whole generation. And it paid off in fucking just... dividends upon dividends upon dividends. So I mean, he's a marketing genius. Not so much of a director, but a marketing genius, and that you can never take that away from.
Oh, hell no, yeah,
never.
So you saw the preview though?
Oh yeah, I was the guy watching the countdown clock online, just waiting for that.
So you saw Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren,
who's the new Sith? I guess the Sith,
the saber, the new lightsaber, which people aren't too happy about.
Okay, so what aren't they happy about?
I don't know because the design is just so off. Course and off.
Okay, this is my argument to these people that don't like it.
All right.
First of all, by the means of physics, a lightsaber cannot exist.
I wouldn't say that to anyone else.
Okay, so like to create a laser that just, you know, stops and goes just to a certain length and you know retracts. So if that can't exist, then why the hell can't the crossing lightsabers exist?
Right now you're questioning life and art, and I would tread lightly on that because to some people
I think it looks pretty badass.
I think it's there was a huge argument for Darth Maul's lightsaber too when that fucking
the
first
double
came
lightsaber
out, you know. And I mean, these people gotta understand, you can't stick, it's gotta grow, you know. You gotta have new stories, you got. And that's why the whole Disney, when Disney bought up, you know, Lucasfilm and everything, and they said we want to cancel out so many fucking novels. We want to cancel out novels. And I respect what they did. They want to bring everything, you know, canon. They want to bring everything to the front line and make everything coincide with everything else, which I think is cool. It's going to take a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it can be done. And I think that's cool to say, if I want to look into this character, I can follow everything without saying, well, wait a minute, you know, there's a fucking huge gap here, or he was dead here, and this, which obviously, you know, any comic book fan knows that shit just fucking just out of hand. But for Star Wars to say we're going to do that, that's awesome. And to say that they dedicated, there's a fucking room somewhere in America where they have Star Wars people that were hired specifically to rearrange and make everything canon. I'm not bullshitting you. There's a room of writers that say, okay, everyone's job today is to fix Darth Vader's story from birth to death. How are we going to? I shit you not, man. It's the true story. They have that's their job.
Wow.
That's their job. And I read about that. I'm like, wait, did I read this fucking right? Your job is to come in and fix shit? But that's their fucking job, dude. And they go from character to character to timeline, and that's all they do.
So you're saying for the new trilogy, for the new films.
Not only that, but for the universe in and of itself.
Okay.
So every comic book, every novel, every trading card, everything will be canon. Everything will have the same continuity. I know, it's a fucking lot of
work.
Holy
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're trying to please everybody.
Everybody. And they hired these people, which, I mean, if you're a geek, now who knew that in this time on this planet Earth that the geekiest of geeks will be the highest paid writers, because they're bringing in people that say, okay, what's on the resume? You know this, you know that, you know this, you know that. You're fucking hired because you know your shit.
Yeah.
You fat, pimply-faced fucking geek. We're going to pay you top dollar.
That's awesome, though. That's, so the geeks will eventually rule the world.
They will inherit.
If they haven't already.
Right. And seriously, man, Star Wars has turned into such a this just mega phenomenon. And obviously I'm speaking like I'm in the 70s, you know, like it's new news that Star Wars is such a big deal. But just to think that it lasted this long.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to be people still want new information. People still want new characters. People still want new films. And they want more. And whatever else we can give them, they'll take it. And it's amazing to see something like that, because there's very few things like that that can go that long and still be fresh.
Right.
Which it's amazing, man. But I guess, you know, he struck something.
So we're gonna talk about this later, because there is a certain franchise of movies that has lasted.
Yeah.
Those are horror movies we're going to get into, or slasher flicks.
Right.
But sci-fi movies.
Uh-huh.
Star Trek had how many movies?
So you got the originals. Five?
But I suppose James Bond might have the longest running.
He's got the biggest money making franchise. Right. James Bond does,
but I think Star Wars is going to catch up here.
I mean, if you factored in merchandise, I mean, nobody beats Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I mean, James Bond obviously. But I know Star Trek the originals, and then there was like the Next Generation, and even the reboots now. You know, they do fairly well financially, and it's pretty cool how they kind of redone those and kind of like gave them a facelift and everything while still keeping it tied to the originals, which I think is pretty cool, man, because there was a lot of information, a lot of creative arts that went into that and the writing and stuff. You know, 60s and 70s type stuff, I mean, sci-fi was anybody's game. You can make up fucking anything, and people loved it because anything was possible at that point. You know.
So let me ask you this. Is there anything you would stand in line for or camp out at a store for a midnight release?
Well, I have.
What have you?
Sneakers, but... Besides that.
Did you ever do the iPhone thing?
No, like a fucking normal citizen, I just ordered it online and waited patiently.
For the iPhone 5. It was the 5. 5S. The 5S. I didn't do the midnight thing.
Right.
But I did. I got there like 6 a.m. at the Verizon store, and I'll never do that again. No. I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I don't know.
If Chuck knew I was doing this, he'd laugh at me.
And I'm laughing now. I think... That same morning, I woke up and scratched my balls, went to the mail, or waited for the FedEx guy, bullshitted with him, signed the paper, and got my phone. So that's probably what I did. Yeah.
I don't know. Some people just want to be able to get that, go to work, and be like, look what I got
already. Right. And when it comes to the toys, I do love the toys.
Yeah.
You know, the toys are for the children, you know, but yeah.
In movies, though, I know that you've done, like, the midnight showings.
Oh, countless times. It gets a little harder, you know, when you get kids and shit involved. Right. It's tougher. But oddly, funny story, going back to the Star Wars, too, is I wanted to tell you when you're playing the little Jabba the Hutt thing. When my little guy was really little and, like, just he wouldn't shut up crying, and I looking for anything funny to make the kids smile and shut the fuck up. But you know, I'm a good dad. I'm only swearing now. Yeah, but like, so I'd look at him and I'd pick him up and I'd be like, waka waka tiki hala dolo solo. And he kind of like stopped and just like stare at me, like Banka Banka Wiki. Then he starts laughing, and then I'm like, oh, thank God he's not crying. But then the minute I stop, he start crying again. So then you see this grown man walking around a living room holding the baby, like Banka Banka Tiki Haka Dolo, Winky Winky.
Does he still laugh at you when you do it?
He does still laugh because it still sounds fucking stupid.
But that's awesome.
That's my Java story. And that's the sound I make when I ejaculate.
I'm done. Thank you.
Who shot first? It was me.
Oh, shit. Man, Chuck, it's good to have you back.
I gotta be honest with you.
Good to have you back.
It feels right.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It just feels right.
Yeah, man. You can vouch for this. You have kids, man, and it's like you never fucking talk to adults anymore. And I find myself talking to strangers and shit, man. Like,
why are you talking to me right now?
I'm just like, please just let me have a dull conversation that doesn't involve fucking Java noises and Willy Wonka shit. But it does. It feels good to be able to talk pop culture and all that. It just feels great. It does.
Well, let's talk about this. Super Mario Maker.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, do you have a Wii U?
I want a Wii U so bad.
We have a Wii U
Fuck
in this
you.
Household. Fuck me?
Yeah.
Fuck me?
Fuck you. Wow, when did you get a Wii U?
A couple years ago.
All right,
not
release,
last
then?
Christmas.
Oh, so
the
you
Christmas
got it
right, before.
Shortly after release.
Yeah, it was the year after.
Not bad.
I got to say, I really like it. I'm a sucker for Super Mario games.
Oh, dude, I have bought multiple Nintendo systems, and it seems like I'll buy the same fucking Mario game over and over again with better graphics. And I have.
Mm-hmm.
I just. And I don't know if that's instilled in us because when we were young, that's all we fucking had was Mario, or it's because it's just generally a fucking awesome game.
Yeah, they're fun to play.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really want a Wii U.
Yeah, so for those unfamiliar, Nintendo has designed this game where you essentially can design your own Mario levels, games, putting in, you know, all sorts of different objects.
Right.
Stacking
essentially anything
bad guys
involved.
On top of each other. Yeah. It's like full control. And I remember when they announced this, I think it was last year at E4, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or E3? Yep. E4?
E3, one of the...
E3, let's go 3.
Game. Okay.
Let's go E3.
Let's do that.
And they showed a demo, and they were showing how, like, you would create it in almost like this, just one-dimensional thing.
Right.
And you could, like, just... They would just pull the skin back, and it would be Super Mario 3. Right. Pull it back, and it's the Wii U, Mario Wii U, the same thing. And it was like instant.
Right.
I don't know if that's how it really works.
Because you don't have the game at this point right now.
I do not. Okay, this is the thing. It's really cool. I don't know if I would buy it.
What?
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, it's just one of those things. That, like, I feel like I'd spend a lot of time. First of all, you know, you have two kids now.
They ruin fucking everything.
It's like, how the hell am I going to find time?
Right.
I mean, I'd buy it and let the kids play with it and, you know, maybe teach them some engineering and video game
which skills. And again, seriously, like I was reading about it and kind of watching a few videos. What I thought was cool is when you do purchase the game, you don't get everything available to you right away. You have to play the game over 9 days. You have to fuck with it for at least, they said, 5 to 10 minutes every day. So you tinker around, and then the more you fuck around with it within those 9 days, they release the warp zone tubes, and they give you the Koopas and the Troopas, and it takes a little bit to get everything over those 9 days, which I thought was cool. They're making you work a little bit for it, find out how it works. And then, but, you know, when the gloves are off, the fucking gloves are off, and it's all you, baby. It's all you and Mario
bombs
World.
Everywhere.
Oh, everywhere, man.
Man.
And just think, and now, for those of you, you know, 80s babies, let's do this. Stop what you're doing right now. If you're driving, stop right in the middle of the fucking highway. Just stop.
I was going to advise them to pull to the side of the road.
No, we don't have time for that.
There's no time.
No. And if you're at your job, you're in the middle of an important meeting, say, everybody, just give me a fucking minute. Just give me a fucking
just
minute.
Give me one hot minute.
And think about this now. When we were sitting there with that Nintendo controller, all of the fucking, what is that, 5 buttons on that little controller, we were playing, at the time, the best of the best of the best game. Okay, there was nothing better than Super Mario Brothers, okay?
Yeah.
Now, fast forward, 30 years? You know, and look at how far technology has come.
85, just think
of it. Yeah. Man. How far technology came to say, at home, you are seriously engineering and producing your own version of Mario Brothers within minutes.
Yeah.
You are taking something that fucking people died for, lost their jobs for, mm-hmm. got fired for, all this other stuff. Such hard work. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to fuck around with the Mario Brothers make it today. And, you know, 30 years ago, someone's like, oh, you fuck up. You fuck up that level. And he lost his job. And he probably, you know how they do in China. Yeah, I'm not going
to
go there.
You don't need to elaborate. I think we get it.
But he no fuck up anymore. And it's someone's life work. And now you make these levels in 5 minutes. It's just, it amazes me sometimes how far we've come
technologically. Yeah, that's true. It's yeah. true. So, would you buy a Wii U? Would you buy the game?
Yes and yes.
You would.
Don't tell my wife. Yeah, I really, I do. That just seems something kind of, you know, everybody needs those games where you can fuck around with when you're alone, man. And you fuck around with it for like a month, 2 months, and all of a sudden you're like, fuck, I spent $60 on that. Fuck, you know, how much can I get on Amazon for that?
There's some other, there's another new Mario game, newer Mario game. I can't think of.
Mario Brothers Wii U?
No, I own that. Okay. That's very fun. Well, very fun.
I'm still playing Super Mario Galaxy 2 on the Wii. So far in that one. So far. You're a weirdo.
All right, next topic here. I'm going to skip this one. Let's just go over it. But Kanye West, you know,
Rob,
I don't know. I don't know what we can say.
Rob, you know how I feel about Kanye West and that Kardashian. I choose to give them as little attention as possible. Okay. I mean, I will let you talk on this and maybe chime in, but I fucking have nothing to say. So
in the, he accepted last week on the show. We talked about how he's accepting the Video Vanguard Award, and he got it. And he did this long speech. It was under 10 minutes or so. And at points, it seemed like he was like a stand-up comedian. And somebody recut that and did like a stand-up, like little three-minute thing.
Yeah, I seen it.
And it was really funny when you spin it that way. And at the end of the speech, he says, Kanye, he says he's running for president in 2020. He's obviously not really going to run for president in 2020. Does anybody, like, people seriously think he's really going to run for president?
Well, look at, somebody gave him the Video Vanguard Award, okay?
Well, he has some,
America's
artistically,
full of sheeple.
This is true, but artistically, he's had some really, really cool videos.
No comment.
Understood. Listen to the kids, bro!
Uh-huh.
Listen to the kids!
Right.
Bro?
I don't understand why they gave Kanye awards.
I am a Kanye West fan. I love his music. I'd say 90% of it, okay? Sometimes he says too much.
Rob, I don't want to sit here and be an asshole. I can't. You know what? The fact is, I was the person talking about Kanye West when no one knew who the fuck Kanye West was.
Hey, Fred Durst. I get it. I get it.
And then, you know what? I admired the fact that he grew as an artist, that he was able to say, you know what? I can be cocky. I can be a little arrogant because I seriously back my shit up. And he did. There's very few producers that can put out what Kanye West puts out. But when he got to the point, and this is recent, when he got to the point of fucking around with the Kardashian clan and getting involved in things that I feel took away from his artistic creativity, I lost interest. And I feel he became a different artist altogether. I feel he lost a lot of his steam. I feel he lost a lot of his, you know, creativity. I feel like he lost his way on his fucking path. And I think now everything he puts out is watered down. I feel like it's rushed. I feel like it's something to say, I have to put this out because I'm supposed to. I have this deadline to meet. I have to be, I owe these people this. I feel that Kanye West is lost. I really do.
Let's let the next album dictate that. Because it's truly, his last album,
Yeezus.
There's a couple songs I could go without, but I otherwise liked it.
I honestly, if I'm lying, strike me down. I listened to that album one time, start to finish, never touched it or looked at it again. That's a true story. So I honestly have no comment on
that. There's some good stuff on there. But you also, you're a fan of Watch the Throne.
I am a fan of Watch the Throne.
And I'm not a huge fan of Watch the Throne. I'm also a Jay-Z fan. You're a big Jay-Z fan.
Absolutely.
But let's move on. Let's not spend too much time on that, right? Because this is
too many people have.
Ooh. Wes Craven.
Oh man,
passed away at 76 from brain cancer this week. So here's a weird thing. Last week on the show, we had Moe's on the show.
Okay,
which this is so weird, Chuck.
Uh oh.
I first met Moe's in the basement of what was that venue that you and I were there? We were recording
For the People.
No, that was Big Jess's Honorable Mention 2 CD release party.
Right.
And it was in the basement of, I can't remember the venue. There's a 3-part episode that people can go back and listen to.
Please do that.
That night is when I met Remo Williams.
Yep.
I met Moe's there as well.
I think both cool guys. Yeah. A lot of cool people that night we met. A lot of cool people.
Remo Williams.
Uh-huh.
So Moe's was on the show last week too. And we were talking about Alicia Keys has this new song called 28,000 Days.
Okay.
And it's based around the average lifespan of a human is 76 years.
Okay.
Which roughly comes out to 28,000 days.
Oh.
76 years. Ironically, Wes Craven dies at 76 years old. Isn't that weird?
That is
weird.
That
is weird.
I have to apologize right now. This section of this podcast, I can't involve. There's not going to be too much humor. This is something that really hit home for me.
It did. Because for those unfamiliar, Chuck is a big slasher horror film fan.
And honestly, this one, I actually got the news when I was at work. And man, I started tearing up a little bit here. And it was one of those things where I didn't know the man personally, but he had such a huge impact on my life and upbringing that I feel like I lost somebody.
Wow.
And I'm glad that I really do think you're out that we can talk about this now, man, but it's something that I still, it's tough to deal with. And I know it sounds so weird hearing some average guys, we lost somebody so important, but I feel that way, you know, and it makes me come to the realization that, you know, as I get older, as you get older, our favorites in any spectrum, music, movies, anything, they're coming to pass, man. Time's moving on and we're going to start losing some really great people. And
this is true.
One of the first ones that I really have to deal with, man.
So I guess I didn't realize he was even involved in the Scream movies.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Rob. Really?
And it's just ironic that his top grossing films go in, the highest grossing being Scream, and then Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4.
Scream 4, right.
So that was interesting.
And this is a podcast in and of itself where, honestly, we could go on for hours and hours about the Scream films and Wes Craven, but those films, Scream came at a time where horror needed a kick in the ass.
Yeah.
It really did.
There was a lull.
Yeah. Seriously, and the average viewer had become a little too intelligent and a little too smart for slashers, and slashers had just been done to death. And they'll always be the hardcore fans, but I mean, Freddy had overstayed his welcome. Jason had overstayed his welcome. Chucky had died for the, you know, fifth time. And, you know, Michael Myers had been doing the same movie for fucking 8, 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it really started off this whole new production line. And I hate to say that, but that's kind of what it turned into, of slashers. But, you know, more of a smart slasher where there was a twist ending and there was like they're involving the you know, the viewer's intelligent and they know what's going on. We have a certain way to twist it and we're going to involve this pop culture meta stuff. And he really started that with Scream, and then came I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then, so many, I can't even think of them now. Obviously, there's so many, but yeah, he really started that. And then, I mean, that even slowly started dying off. And what he did again to reinvigorate that particular genre was he released Scream 4, which made fun of all of the Scream movies themselves.
Oh, right. That was the one where it was like on the set.
Yeah,
of...
exactly. No, that was part three.
That was part three.
Yeah. Scream 4.
I don't know what I've seen four.
Four,
then.
Yeah, it was very, very different. Well, in Scream 4, you know, Sydney's very old now and she's coming to terms with her life and she wrote a book and now they're saying that, you know, someone's always going to copycat a killer and someone's always looking for the attention.
Right.
He was essentially saying, you know what? Now that everyone's run out of ideas, they're going to go back and try to reboot and redo this, but just add this new futuristic twist and a little bit smarter, which, and again, it was ahead of its time, Scream was, and Scream 4, I think, will be recognized and appreciated in a few more years.
Mm-hmm.
But
so I didn't realize the impact that he had just creating Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, God.
With that movie alone.
Yeah.
Creating the character,
right.
Freddy Krueger.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Depp's debut.
Yes, his first film.
Yeah, and I didn't know Charlie Sheen... had the part.
It was his role.
But he wanted too much money.
Exactly. He was big then. He was big then. Well, you know, if you really want to get even further in depth, Jackie Earle Haley, the guy that played the new Freddy in the new Nightmare on Elm Street, mm-hmm. he had originally auditioned for Freddy Krueger in the first Nightmare on Elm Street back in 85, 86, okay?
Wait, how old was he?
Well, he was, you know, he's in his early 20s. He was in his early 20s. Well, he brought his buddy to the audition, and his buddy was Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay.
So Wes Craven's auditioning everybody, and they're like, hey, what are you here for? He's like, ah, I'm with my buddy, whatever. He's like, read for this part. So he read for the part, and sure as shit, he got the part of the sexy dream guy, teenage or whatever, and the rest is obviously history, man. So
Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what movie he was in as a kid?
No, Rob. He wasn't in any baseball movies, was he?
He played as Kelly in Bad News Bears. Yes. You would know him as the badass kid.
Really ugly
the
little fucker.
He was.
Great actor, though. Great actor. Yeah. Great actor.
So the concept of Nightmare on Elm Street came from an LA Times article that Wes Craven had read when he was younger.
Yeah, there was...
Which is a true story.
True story. There was a kid, and this was, I want to say the Philippines, or maybe Thailand
Sounds
or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And the kid had been complaining to his parents that he was having nightmares and whatever else. And it turns out, you know, after so many days, so many nightmares, he had actually passed away in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it became well documented. And you know, Wes, he said, you know, that sounds like a great idea. And he had actually, Wes, he tied together, there was a bully from his childhood that I believe his actual name was Fred Krueger. And he incorporated that, the name, whatever else, and the rest is history.
He showed that bully
he
what's
really
up.
He really did. That fucker's still, yeah, that bastard. But, you know, and this is an awesome little tidbit. The colors of Freddy Krueger's sweater, the green and the red or whatever else they're called, something that's a little deeper, a little darker, are scientifically proven
to be scary.
To be scary.
Right.
Yeah, the color, which, think about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Christmas.
Wes Craven.
Right, and that was the guy. He left no detail, left nothing out. And
here's another fact. So he basically made Robert Englund a star.
Yeah.
By giving him the role.
Mm-hmm.
England was briefly considered for the part of Han Solo in the 1977 Star Wars while visiting his close friend Mark Hamill, who would later be cast in the film as Luke Skywalker, of course, for which that's the role England tried out for,
right,
as Luke Skywalker.
Wow.
So that's kind of funny how that comes
Can
back
you
around.
Imagine that?
That's crazy. And you know, Nightmare on Elm Street is like the one... I'm not a big horror guy.
No, you're not.
But
you're a bit of a pussy.
I loved, yes, I am. I'll admit it. But Nightmare on Elm Street was always good because Freddy Krueger kind of had this demented type of humor to it.
Yep.
To him.
And that was, there's definitely a dark aspect there, dark comedy aspect there. It was playing on your fears as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still the kid. You're kind of making that transition from kid to teenager. And you're like, fuck, man, I'm still scared of the dark a little bit. Is there still some shit underneath my bed? You know, are mom and dad fucking home, or am I hearing shit? And yeah, he played on that.
Yeah, and he did. And he had some funny lines once in a while. But he played Freddy in 8 films.
Yep.
Not including Freddy's Nightmare TV series.
Which is still underrated.
And the Fat Boys, Are You Ready for Freddy?
Six-minute mini-movie
in 1988.
God, I bet you people need to hit YouTube for that, because that is a treat. That is a treat. But
I'm gonna get you.
But yeah, Robert Englund. It was like, I loved the character, and you know, I knew his name,
right?
And then he did like Phantom of the Opera, the movie, which I went and saw, regardless. And I was like, this is, I like Robert Englund still, but this movie is just that's not for
awesome.
Me.
That's not, dude.
For
that me. Is a cult favorite. Like, no one actually paid to go watch that.
No,
they got it on video.
And then he was in Ford Fairlane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it was the CD. Crikey, he put some accent. I don't remember. It's been a while. But
hello.
But Robert Englund, to think like he just embodied that part. He is Freddy, and I think. Sadly, that's what really happened with the new Nightmare on Elm Street, the 2009 reboot, is I don't think people were ready to see anybody else besides Robert Englund in that film. And I believe he either he wasn't offered, but they wanted him involved in some aspect, so I think it just came down to him telling, you know, here's what the character would do in 2009, blah, blah, blah. But I think it would have worked if they actually just said, hey, man, we're wiping the scene, we're wiping everything clean, we want you to jump in and just... bring Freddy a little more fresh, a little more current, and I think that would have worked.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. But actually, speaking of, now they're rebooting that again. So, again? Yeah, 2016, 2017, they'll have a new Nightmare.
Oh, not, man.
Yeah, they're going to do it till something works and they can recreate the franchise. That's what's going to happen.
New guy playing?
Yeah, there'll be a new guy. It'll be a new guy, new story, new origin. Well, not new origin, probably, but, you know, a new picture of said origin.
Is the kid that played Spider-Man in Spider-Man 1 and 2 going to be...
No, Freddy? Garfield. What? I went down another path there. You fucking confused. Don't confuse.
No, Garfield. What's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You confuse? No, he's out.
Andrew Garfield as is Freddy Krueger.
Listen, we got to rescue Aunt May.
Well, that's it is unfortunate. Yeah, that Wes Craven passed away.
Yeah, he did, that one hit hard, man. And just it needs to be said. The impact that he's made on the horror genre itself. I mean, so many things would not have been created. So many things would not have been acknowledged or pushed forward without Wes's input. And just to name some of the ones that people aren't too familiar with. I mean, you're looking at Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes, The Serpent and the Rainbow.
No, the original The Hills Have Eyes.
The original Hills Have Eyes, yeah. Right. And I believe he even co-wrote the sequel, The Hills Have Eyes 2, the one that was remade, you know, a few years back. But there was a sequel to The Hills Have Eyes, but I don't know if he was involved in that one. Here he did the Wes Craven's New Nightmare. I Had Sex With Your Wife, Not In Those Words. but it just, he's done so much, man. And it really is, it's sad to know that for the rest of my years, like, there's never going to be another point in time where it's like Wes Craven presents or here's the new Wes Craven picture. And that's sad. And it hits me a little hard, man. So, I mean, Wes Craven, I love you. I'll miss you. And Freddy Krueger, you
son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. A moment of silence for Wes Craven. All right, now I need to get into the sponsorship for the podcast here. This month, Rift Magazine. How can you help Rift Magazine? You might want to ask yourself. Let me tell you before you ask yourself. Rift Magazine used to be a print magazine. Do you remember Rift? You'd find it next to City Pages and the what
Rift,
have yous.
That magazine, I remember. Yes. It was good.
Well, they moved the made the move to digital, but you can also subscribe because they want to make an annual or biannual a print copy. But you need money to do that stuff,
right?
So go to riftmagazine.com and click the help option, and there's options to subscribe where it's literally $11. A one-time thing.
Bitch.
You get stickers like this. You see that sticker right there, Chuck?
Oh, fancy.
You can get that, and there's giveaways, there's prizes, there's stuff. You get a free local digital compilation album. So check it out. Rich Horton at Rift Magazine is a great guy, and there's also a Rift Magazine app. It's free for your iPhone.
Right.
Get it. Check it out.
I'll
news,
do it.
Everything's there. The event calendar's there. The event calendar is awesome.
Right.
It's got tons of local shit.
And this is another one of those moments, just like earlier, I said, stop what you're fucking doing. Pull over in the middle of the freeway, in the middle of that meeting.
Well, before you said don't pull over.
Oh, I didn't?
You said just stop right there.
Get the fucking app. Just
get the
download
app.
That.
So thanks to Rift Magazine for sponsoring the show here. Go to riftmagazine.com, click the help tab, and take a little look there. Take a look.
Get the app?
Get the app.
mess around with it?
Yeah. Read the calendar? Chuck Chase.
Oh, yeah.
Returns to the podcast.
Oh, and it feels so good.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm here now. Gonna make it all right. Open up them legs.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see that Rift app.
That's a great segue.
Yeah. That's how I do it, Riff.
So the people, the newer listeners of the show might not know this, but before the Thank You, Rob podcast, there was another podcast.
What?
That's what they're saying?
Very near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yeah. Some People's Kids podcast.
It really was good.
Dude. It was good. It was. We got 6 episodes in.
Sick. At least lie to them, man. Say the other ones can't be downloaded.
6,600.
Yeah. 6 available only, though.
Yeah, we took the other ones down. There you go.
Too hot for TV.
Yeah.
Too hot for TV?
Too hot for the internet. Right. That's not even possible. Not even possible. People watched Two Girls, One Cup.
Right.
The internet
can't
be.
You can only find our podcast on Pornhub. That's how fucking awesome they are.
So we did that, and that's kind of what's inspired me to start my own podcast, because we just weren't up on it.
No.
We needed to get up on
it. Not to say that we didn't want to be. I think life just happened.
Life happened, man. Yeah. We had kids, but now we're done having kids.
Fucking right.
I think we are.
No, we're fucking
done. We're done.
Right.
So the chances of us continuing the Some People's Kids podcast are very, very, very good.
Very good.
Very good. And I welcomed Chuck back to my home. The last time he was here, he ate 5 tacos.
And Rob counted every one of them, you fucking bastard. I've never had a person count my tacos before. It was the you guys were not joking. This is a true story.
It's a true story.
Every time I went to eat a fucking taco, I look up and see like Rob making eye contact with me.
He's like, I'm like, I had this chalkboard and I was like, one, two.
And then he tried to like hint at it. He's like, so how are those tacos, Chuck? I'm like, they're really good. He's like, oh, 3 good? I'm like, yeah. You must really enjoy them.
Just so people know, I was never upset. I was more impressed than anything.
And the sad part is I actually slowed down and quit. I could have kept going.
Jesus. Last time I'm going to eat over at this guy's house. Anyways, maybe that's why the Some People's Kids podcast ended.
I was offended. Yeah. Don't let me eat tacos, will you?
You couldn't surpass the number of episodes with the amount of tacos you'd eat at my house. But Chuck and I met. We did some comedy videos together.
Oh, God, those are still awesome.
Yeah, they're still out there.
Yeah, they still get hits, too.
I think, is it youtube.com/peopleskids?
I think it's youtube.com/morepeopleskids.
More People's Kids.
And go there and just laugh. And if you laugh enough, we'll make another one.
Yeah. I'd do it.
I
think
again,
I wouldn't? You think I wouldn't?
I don't know what would be funny anymore, but I would love to try.
Right.
My favorite one to this day is Toast. I mean, I watch Toast when I'm drunk, and I make myself fucking laugh, dude. I get drunk with my buddies. I'm like, you guys, you got to see this. I'm like, is that you? I'm like, well, yeah, it's me. But laugh,
you know, just watch it. And even when I make Toast, I'm like, Toast.
Oh, I remember the Toast.
Yeah. So we did some things.
Yeah, we did some, and it was good. All in good fun, and you know. We put a decent amount into the creative process.
We did.
So that was fun.
We did. There's 2 things that didn't make it to the internet, though.
Oh.
There was when Batman, the Dark Knight Rises came
which
out.
Which was genius, I thought, on your part.
It was genius.
You were ahead of, dude, you were so far ahead of everyone else with that joke.
So people who don't understand this, the Dark Knight Rises, like the original trailer first came out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the Dark Knight Rises. I had this idea to have like a comedy clip of portraying the preview of the movie where the dark, you know, Batman's basically waking up, he's rising.
Yep.
And we shot everything
in like morning. So everything's in the morning. He ate his breakfast cereal,
reading the newspaper,
made his toast, and it all happened. I thought it was fucking pure genius. It would have been maybe a minute long clip. I don't know why that never made it, but I thought it was genius. And Rob, I get Rob, I says, what happened to the clip? He's Chuck.
Life happened.
Life happened. I'm like, no, dude, why aren't you putting it up? She's like, yeah. I'm like, no, for real. Fucking why aren't you putting it up?
Life.
I'm like, and then you got to know Rob. You know, sometimes, too, with creative people, you got to know when to say when. So you just leave shit alone. So I left it alone.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah.
And another thing was we filmed was the Chuck Chase show, which was, we just made the intro.
And it was fucking genius.
It was pretty good.
Dude, I mean, seriously, when you're entertained by a fucking 30-second intro, it's going to be a good show. And
I
think we might have lost an opportunity on that.
I think
that
we might have.
Fuck.
With intro music provided by Jaron McDaniel,
which was
of
awesome.
Early Birds.
Bit to a fucking T. It was perfect. Yeah. Perfect. God, that guy's a creative guy. If you ever get a chance to work with him, I suggest doing it.
So John and I, once in a while, have what we call an on-air production meeting.
Okay.
And you and I have been talking about doing the Some People's Kids podcast.
Bring that back again to episode number 7.
So let's, I think that'd be awesome. It's right. Two and a half years later, episode number 7.
Right.
I think that could be the whole
episode.
That's how
we sell that one.
Yeah.
2.5 years later.
Yeah.
Episode 7. I like it.
So are we going to do this?
I have already spoke to the wife, and I said, listen, bitch. No,
Wow. Wow,
and that's
Chuck.
The kind of humor you'll be getting out of Some People's Kids. No, I said, listen, honey baby, I'd like permission to leave the household at least once a week to record some gospel and church-like things.
Spread the word of Jesus.
Spread the word of Jesus. And And she's all for it. She says, you know, that's something I really wish you guys would have kept doing anyway, because it was a good outlet for you just to shut the fuck up, mm-hmm. not talk to me about all that stuff. And I think that could work out great. And so, I mean, I'm on board and I can't wait for it, especially with this setup. I think this is going to be something really fantastic, and I hope we can get a lot of people involved. And some of my ideas are even like getting some of the local comedians, maybe some of the local filmmakers.
Oh, Chuck.
And, you know, just kind of going that route, too.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You're talking my language. Right. I talked to my wife about it, mm-hmm. and she said,
meow, 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 meow.
And then she was like,
yay, yay!
And I was like, all right.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, this is fun over here. This is fun.
I'm going to need the name of that app.
I will give you the name of that app.
Okay.
Off the air.
Absolutely.
Not in the middle of an on-air production.
No.
So, I guess the announcement would be that the Some People's Kids podcast will return.
It is coming back 2.5 years later.
Yes.
And you only have to wait 1 year for episode 8. So that's going to be cool.
So what days, when are we going to start recording this?
Wednesdays are typically your Thank You Rob podcast recording
right.
days.
You read that right off the bat.
I think we should go for maybe be.
maybe be?
Tuesdays, Thursdays, maybe. One of those 2 days. You know, you tell me, you're the guy with the fancy schmancy setup here.
Yeah. Saturdays or Sundays?
Wow. You realize I'm kind of a worker on those days.
Oh.
I'd be stripping into evenings.
Well, maybe we could make it a little bit later on a Tuesday or a Thursday.
Okay, that's fine.
We can make that work.
When the kids are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had podcasts that did involve us saying kids?
Yes.
Besides some
the
people's
title.
Kids?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't talk about kids and how our life revolved around mm-hmm. them, and they sucked everything out of us.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've always had kids. I've had kids since I was like 14.
Right. Well, I probably have a lot of kids I don't know about since I was 14, but...
Easy now.
Be careful of what information you provide on this
right.
podcast.
This is right. This is right. Well, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
This is the high five here.
High five.
Where I ask you 5 hard-hitting questions.
Uh-huh.
Let's find out a little more about Chuck Chase.
I am looking forward to this. I rarely get a chance to talk about myself.
I rarely get a chance to answer 5 questions in a row. All
right.
Well, let's get to know Chuck a little bit here before we dive into Some People's Kids podcast.
Okay.
Airing sometime soon, either recorded on a Tuesday or Thursday night after the kids
slightly
are in bed.
Later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Chuck, what terrible fashion trend did you fall prey to in your teenage years?
Oh, man. You know what comes right to mind?
Zubas.
JNCO jeans.
JNCOs. Wow.
JNCO jeans.
You did the JNCOs.
And I had no business wearing them because I was not the type of kid that should wear JNCO jeans.
Did anybody?
Well, some of the weirdos, the skaters and some
You think
of
you're better than them,
oh,
Chuck.
Oh, I knew this is where that was going. But no, seriously, it'd be like I'm wearing like this Nike t-shirt and like some really cool sneakers and these big fucking baggy jeans. And like it got to the point where like some of my buddies were like, dude, you're changing, man. And I'm like, what? These fucking jeans, you know? You shouldn't be wearing them.
I'm like, I also don't like locked doors.
But see, so I mean, it was definitely the JNCO jeans, and I regret wearing them, man. And it's amazing that I ever got laid in high school wearing them. Which, you know, let's be honest, I didn't get laid wearing them, so there's that.
But somehow there's a bunch of ladies with your kids
right.
running around.
When I was wearing just Levi's,
not on the JNCO days,
or Jordache, maybe Arizona jeans
on the Wrangler days.
All right,
Chuck, what is your favorite day of the week?
My favorite day of the week is Saturday.
Saturday.
You know,
Saturday.
Because fucking Friday's over, and that day was probably shitty, I'm sure. And you don't have anything to do on Saturday, and you got a whole day the next day on Sunday that's wide open for whatever. So Saturday's like the only free day for any working adult. Saturday.
Except for recording the Some People's
Except
Kids
for,
podcast.
Yeah, right. In which I think the opening to that, the theme song should be, S A T U R D A Y night. S A T U R D A Y night, and I keep on rocking to the dancing rock. On
what
Saturday
is this?
Night.
What are you singing
on Saturday night? Haven't you ever seen So I Married an Axe Murderer?
Yes. So that's his dad.
Yeah, I believe. But I don't know if he actually ever sung it. I know that's the opening song though.
It is.
And I keep on rocking to the dancing rock
Is it Michael Myers playing as his dad singing
His name is Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, right. Whatever.
Okay. And yeah, but I believe he has a part in the film. He's like, if you want my body, yes, and you think I'm sexy, right, come on down and let me know.
Speaking of Mike Myers,
right,
the 10-year anniversary of Hurricane Uh-oh. Katrina.
And Bush still doesn't care about yes, black people.
And that video is, not that it ever went away, but it's kind right, of resurfaced again.
Right.
I see it. I watched right, it the other day, and it's just like, poor Mike Myers,
dude,
man.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing there and, like, out of all the fucking words in the American dictionary, English dictionary, American dictionary, English dictionary, he puts those ones together. I mean, how do you prepare for that? You can't prepare for that. Comedian no, or no comedian. No right, one's prepared to make a comeback after that.
And then it goes over to, I was going to say Chris Rock.
No, well, it goes back to somebody, and all you hear is this.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker, yeah.
And it's just
back
like,
to you, Chris.
Damn, man! Did he really say that shit, man?
Smokey back here taking a shit.
Damn.
Here's a good one for you.
Uh-oh.
If you could be a member of any TV sitcom family, which family would you be?
That's an awesome fucking question. If I could be a member of any TV sitcom family, what family would it be?
What family would it be?
I think I'd want to be another one of Mr. Drummond's sons.
Really?
Yeah, I think I
don't think anyone's ever said that.
No, I think I'd like to be like Mr. Drummond's long lost son, like when he went off to war or something, and I just show up at the door and like black kid opens the door and I'm like, is my dad here? And he's like, what you talking about, white boy? You know, and I'm walking, and I'm like, he's my dad. And then Willis comes down and is like, where's the beef? You know, and then
he doesn't say where's the beef.
He does say where's the beef.
He does.
There's an episode where he says where's the beef.
Okay.
Anyway, and then what's her name? Dana Plato comes down and is like, wow, she's a cute boy. And I'm like, I'm your brother. And she's like, oh, no. Cuts to commercial. And then after the commercial break, we come back and Mr. Drummond's just like talking to Mrs. Garrett. And she's like, oh, no, Mr. Drummond, what have you done?
Here's a sidebar question.
All right.
Do you know Mr. Drummond's first name in the show?
I do. Please give me a second. Edit this out later. Oh, fuck. Dude. Mr. Drummond's middle name, or his real name is not Gerald. Edward. Hiram. What is it? I forgot.
Is it Conrad?
Conrad
it
Drummond.
Is Conrad.
It is Conrad.
I don't know why I remember
dude,
that.
Dude, because it's never said. It's rare. Yeah, it's a good trivia question.
All right. Next question. Are you a fan of anyone's music that you're kind of ashamed to tell people about?
Am I a fan of anyone's music that I'm kind of ashamed to talk about? I don't know necessarily if I'm ashamed, but I dig a lot of Taylor Swift's music.
You do?
I dig it. Not only she is who she is, but I think written, you know, creative, and just the beats themselves. Taylor Swift has some good fucking music. And when it comes on in my car and the windows are rolled up, I sing that shit. I do. And when someone stops me, pulls me over, and I turn it off, but when they leave, I'll be singing again.
So T-Swift, huh?
Yeah, I do. T-Swizzle. And that's not a joke. I do like Taylor Swift's music. Yeah. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. She's just got some good fucking tracks.
She's got some jams. I got to say, the first song I've ever really listened to is the new on her new album, the one with Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar, yeah. Also a good, very good track. I mean, if it's good enough for Kendrick.
Right.
You know, it's good enough for the people.
Right.
You know,
this
so,
is true.
So, yeah. So, I'm good.
I'm going to be all right.
I'm OB. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
This dick ain't free.
Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
Yeah. Drank. If you had a time machine, where would you go? When would you go?
If I had a time machine,
I had a time machine,
I'm gonna give two answers. The first answer: if I had a time machine, I would fucking trip everybody out and go back to the set of Back to the Future while they're filming that shit. So that is what I would do. I would go back to the Future while they're filming that, and they'd be like, "What the fuck is this part of the movie?" And I'd be like, "Nope, nope, it's not."
Would you just tell Marty to don't forget to wind his watch? As I'm saying that, I'm like, that's a Bill and Ted thing.
No, I would tell Michael J. Fox, hey, man, don't ignore them shakes.
Oh, Chuck. Wow, Chuck. He is ruthless. Holy shit, Chuck.
Now, the second more serious answer is just as fucked up. I would say I'd go back to, like, the times of Richie Valens, you know, La Bamba, and tell him not to get on the plane. This wasn't supposed to be funny. I was serious, because he got on the plane with Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and, the other fella, I forget his name. But I'd say, you know, don't worry about the fucking coin flip, man. Just don't get on that fucking plane. But I think that is an awesome, awesome time for music.
Yeah.
So that is somewhere I would love to go back to and just hear that, because everybody was new. Everybody was fresh. Everybody was inventing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that honestly is where I would like to go to. And maybe take some credit for some of the music that was written. You know, so I'd fucking be like, hey, I've got a good song.
Come back to the future and you just check your bank
account. It's a song in Spanish. Trust me, this shit's going to work. But yeah, that's what I would do.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I was going to say, altering something like that, though,
mm-hmm.
would probably have a pretty big impact.
Right.
You would never have the, what's it, American Pie song?
Right.
Which is based on it.
The whole of it, the day music died.
Yeah.
The day music died.
The music wouldn't have died.
Well, I mean, that's not going to hurt anybody.
Well.
No.
Well.
Except for that poor bastard.
You come back to the future and everything's all fucked up.
Right, man. Fucking Kanye's president.
That has been the High Five. High right. Five. Five hard-hitting questions.
Hard-hitting.
Journalism at its finest.
Absolutely.
Chuck, thanks for sitting in on that.
Hey, man. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Well, Chuck, I think hopefully the listeners hear this and they get a little bit excited. Mm-hmm. They just get that little twinge
right.
in their crotchal area.
Right.
Whether they're male or female.
Right.
And just...
And I hope they're male. I'm so dirty.
And their thirst,
mm-hmm.
their hunger for more. Chuck,
bitches be thirsty.
More Rob.
Mm-hmm.
More Some People's Kids podcast.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, because you know what? Obviously, we're not going to take Rob's, his, what do I want to say?
Format. Right.
We'll be inventing our own. And probably less serious, a lot less serious,
mm-hmm.
probably more offensive.
Obviously.
Depending on what you find offensive. And we'll have some different kind of guests for you guys, man. Really trying to involve the local scene here as far as filming and writing and comedic venues. And I think those are the ideas we have for that. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. And really. Now another concept we had was one topic per episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a whole episode about your Los Angeles Dodgers blue cap
mm-hmm.
that you're wearing.
Right. And how I can't name a single LA Dodger from ever. So
ever?
Yeah, ever.
How about Oral Hershiser?
I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, there was like one Dodger named Louis Armstrong Dodger.
I really pulled that one out of the air, but I think legitimately Oral Hershiser, and I might even be saying his last name wrong,
right.
played for the Dodgers.
No, he played for the Vikings.
No, he was a pitcher.
Oral Hershiser Walker. Herschel.
I see what you did there.
All right.
Well, Chuck, thanks for coming through and doing
Absolutely.
The podcast. I'm bummed that neither Joe Grizzle
right.
or Johnny Question Mark
right.
Wasn't here to sit on this.
Yeah, really too bad. And again, just so you not that you guys know, but this will come at a later podcast. I'm really looking forward to having a... intense sit down with Johnny Question Mark. Not that he even knows or cares about what's coming, but it's going to be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Now, I hope Johnny Question Mark's reverse circumcision went well.
Right.
And I pray that his penis is in good hands.
I know it was last night. Hi-yo!
I hope that Joe Grizzly gets the action figures that
right.
he's...
Right. I hope he gets all of them motherfuckers.
Yeah. I would just walk in... arms like this that the listeners
the
can't see and just man. Off the rack into the cart.
And all of a sudden you're
through
10
the checkout
grand.
Into my car. Yeah. I'm home open playing with them.
You open and play with them? Whoa.
You know what? You collectibles aren't going to be a thing anymore.
It's true. Eventually. So mass manufactured.
Right.
Goddamn shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chuck, any last words? Anything you want to plug here? Your Twitter page, which I didn't realize we weren't... I didn't have. We weren't following.
Let's
each other.
Get that shit popping now. It's at Mr. Chuck Chase, yeah. And don't mind the abnormal amount of porn stars that I follow that don't follow back. It's just for research.
In your personal life, he does a lot of research. Yeah,
lots of research.
Mm-hmm. And you're on Facebook with Chuck Chase as
Chuck
well.
Chase. Let's get that popping too.
Yeah.
I think I follow a lot of local strippers or exotic dancers.
Again, research. Strictly research.
All that. Big podcast coming. Big podcast. But yeah, and if you're a local stripper, at Mr. Chuck Chase or follow me on Facebook and research with me.
Chuck, thanks again for coming through.
Thank you, Rob. It was a pleasure.
Head over to thankyourob.com. Listen to past episodes of the show. 51 with Chuck Chase. We recorded that conversation, that episode in the car.
In the vehicle.
You were driving. You were holding a microphone. Yes. Yeah, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Jay-Z, too.
We did.
And
at length, yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. Check it
just
out.
Just fucking listen. What do you have to do? What do you have to do?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go listen to it.
And also at thankyourob.com, a link to iDefine Design, the graphic design work that I do. Which is doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I'm making a little bit of money.
That sounds good.
Yeah, real nice.
I think I'll have that.
Real nice. A link to JohnnyQuestionMark.com, mm-hmm. where you can read all about his reverse circumcision,
mm-hmm.
And download his album "Falling in Like" for free.
Mm-hmm. Solo with bonus album. Track. Someday I'm getting a reverse circumcision.
And you'll have to write a sequel song mm-hmm. to that. Yeah, about after. also on thankyourob.com, a link to Fuzz Talk Radio, good friends of ours down in Mankato that have a 24/7 internet radio station replaying episodes of this podcast.
Wow.
This very episode, you may be listening on Fuzz Talk Radio right now.
That is awesome.
Followed up by Minnesota Music all day, every day.
Every day.
And finally, the best way to support this podcast, Amazon Associates. You can go to amazon.thankyourob.com. You could go to thankyourob.com/Amazon. Either way, it's going to take you to a unique URL page that is Amazon. Everything still costs the same. You can use Prime. You can use gift cards. You can use your mom's credit card. That's not my business. But please buy stuff through there. Support the podcast. It's the best way to do it without paying any more money than you normally are. If you're going to buy something on Amazon anyways, an Oral Hershiser
Walker
autographed blue LA Dodgers baseball hat, which you may or may not have played for the team ever anyways, but I think I would buy that.
Rob, you've sold out, man.
Yeah, I've sold out.
You've gone corporate, man.
I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
Right, man.
So what's up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end it here. You got any last words?
I just would like to say I'd like to get back to my old sign off and say I'm Chuck Chase and you're not.
Ah, and I'm going to end it with handshakes and high fives.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody's hand. I'm gonna need someone to hold me down. I'm gonna need someone to care. I'm gonna rise and shake my body. I'll start pulling out my hair. I'm gonna cover myself with the ashes of you, and nobody's gonna give a damn. Son of a bitch, give me a drink. One more night, I just can't be me. Son of a bitch, if I can't get clean, I'm gonna drink my life away. For 17 years I've been going in back. 17 more will bury me. And somebody please just tie me down. Oh, somebody give me a goddamn drink. Son of a bitch, give me a drink. One more night, this can't be me. Son of a bitch.
My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My head is aching, my hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. Son of a bitch!